It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Joining us now on the line is our pastor once again on this Friday. It's exactly 28 minutes before one. It's time for us now to ask a pastor, and our question for today: why do believers sometimes commit acts of violence, all in the name of faith? Really now, what is that about? You know, people who are going to commit atrocious acts, and then there is somebody who's going to protect that and defend that and say, oh, that was an act of God. Bible is full of people who do those kinds of things. Do you remember the Levite? Yeah. The Levite who had a concubine. Not that that is not bad enough on its own for a Levite to have a concubine. Then he gives her over to be raped and molested. She is so raped and molested that she comes back and crawling, almost dead, and she dies at the doorstep. Do you know what this Levite does? This Levite chops this woman into pieces, 12 pieces, and then sends those pieces to the 12 tribes of Israel. And for some reason, we're led to believe there's something holy about that. Oh, no. Don't forget. Do not forget about the one man. The one man who is supposed to be the father of faith, who was ready, willing, and able to kill his own son, Isaac. He didn't, of course, but he was ready, willing, and able. An old man, he had tied the boy down, put him on the altar, was just about to stab the boy. And then the angel stopped him. All of these are supposed to be acts of faith. I don't know. There is this woman who lied to this cowardly soldier of the opposition who came to her tent, and then she pretended to be kind and, you know, lovely. He asked to hide, and she hid him, allegedly. He asked for some milk. She gave him milk and then covered the man. The Bible says this woman took a tent peg, hammered it onto the man's head from one side to the other into the ground. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that kind of violence? And we're told this isn't a good thing? An act of faith? Oh, we all know the story of God instructing the Israelites to go and kill Amalek. That's a famous one. That genocide is well documented, and that's supposed to be a good thing. I don't know. All these are acts of violence, which I suspect the person who asked the question today is bothered by. And that's why we have Pastor Sainz Marandre, who's going to be here to give us some perspective. Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome back, and thank you very much for agreeing to answer our question today.
Very good afternoon to you, and how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much, Mvunisa. I trust you are well, too.
I am very much well, especially if the Sabbath is about to come. I feel so good.
Indeed. Our question for today, Mfundisi, is why do believers, sometimes commit acts of violence in the name of faith? Why?
Okay. Here is something that we cannot condone with, which is violence. There are ways, I suppose, to solve things amicably. And resorting to violence, especially if it means killing or taking away someone's life, it is not a good thing.
Right.
However, it doesn't mean just because an act has been committed by a Christian, the act is Christianized.
Right.
Or it's taken to be part of what Christians can do.
Right.
Should they reach a disagreement. It doesn't mean it's like that.
Right.
We also see in the Bible the follies of men. We also see their shortcomings, whereby they apply ways that are radical and that may not be good at all.
Right.
However, God winks at, and I like the part where you quote God himself giving instruction for the Amalekites to be dealt with. Not
right.
Only that, even the Canaanites, who had their own land, I can imagine. And God's promising Israelites to that corner and saying, hey, I've given you land. Come see what I've given you here.
Right, right.
And there are people who are saying, we are natives here. You see? So in that act alone, we then do not know how God himself at times resorts to killing.
Right.
Because he is God, and we can't believe. We call him to a court of justice.
Right.
And then we say, why did you kill these people? And he will tell you, by the way, they are my people.
Yes.
Why do you have to kill? I'm the one who created them. Why should
God
you
to
tell
a court
with my people?
If you call God to a court of justice, who's going to be the judge to judge God?
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
Now, who's going to be judged? Because he is the highest point of appeal anyway.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And he will tell you again, right in your face, these are my people. I
yes.
do what I want with my people.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Did you create anyone? So, I mean, you'll be dumbfounded.
Right,
but
right.
What we can then maybe come through an answer is whereby a fellow human being is committing such an act and trying to sanitize it as it were a Christian way of dealing
right.
with things. I don't think that would provide.
Okay. So I've given examples now, Mfundis, of these other Christians or believers
mm-hmm.
who have committed these atrocious acts. It's bothersome. Why is it acceptable? Why call violence an act of faith?
Okay. Now, this is something we all must also understand as well.
Right.
There are things that I may do in my personal capacity,
right,
and I'll tell you I'm doing this for God,
right,
and I'll tell you this is holy anger,
right.
I'll tell you I'm being driven with the love of God, and at times God will then say, no, I was not part of that. I didn't start you to do that,
right?
Because I've never seen it's me who has only seen people who are preaching and they'll say, as they're doing the altar call, the Spirit is telling me there's one more person,
right?
And the truth is like, what did the Spirit really tell you that? Or it's you who is feeling like there's one more person, but you want to make authentic your altar call by saying the Spirit is telling you.
Right.
So there are times when we do certain things and we seem to be fighting for God, and yet God then say, no, I was not part of that. But at times God does not apply instant justice, where he will then say an eye for an eye,
yeah,
tooth
yeah,
for a tooth.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He will not do that at times. He will wink at that. But doesn't mean he condoned. He will then say, I'm waiting for you to repent of this one. When the Amalekites did what they did, God was there. He was quiet. He could have quickly moved there and said, you guys, I'm opening up this ground so that you'll be swallowed up. Just like the sons of Korah in that time. But
yeah,
at times,
yeah.
God keep quiet and then will say, no, I'm not going to open the ground. After some time, say, hey, those guys, I didn't like what they did.
Yeah.
Go and sort them out. That's God. He chose how he chooses to discipline.
Okay. I hear you.
We cannot really instruct him on that one.
Yeah, I understand that you cannot instruct God, but can we really say, for example, who was this? Is it Phineas? Phineas who attacked these boys, or is it one of the boys who was sleeping with prostitutes in the temple?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
That's a famous example of holy anger. How do we call that murder holy? What's holy about that?
I think what we can say was holy about it is when God approved by turning his anger away because of that act. So that, by that we can then say, perchance it was holy and good. Then, because God didn't say that.
Mfunes, I think we got cut there. Are you still there, Mfunes? Pastor? Thank God WhatsApp has just... Pastor, are you there? Okay, I think our line has decided to take the Friday off. for some reason. It appears to have taken the Friday off. It's not coming through. All right. We'll take that as our final answer from the pastor, since he has given us the bulk of what he was saying, when we got the bulk of what he was saying. Thank you very much.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.